Morning is to share with you, I don't know if you'd call it a State of the Union, but it is an opportunity for us today to reflect on our fellowship and where we're at and where the Lord's taking us. And so I've got a captive audience. Not all of you are going to stay for the annual meeting. I know most of you will, but not all of you. So I'm actually going to bring the annual meeting up here. Awesome, eh? So I'm going to share with you a little bit about maybe from my perspective where we're at and kind of where the Lord's taking us. And so let's just pray and ask the Lord for His presence. Well, Lord, we give you this morning. Lord, we ask that you would cause your Holy Spirit to draw us together in the plans and the purposes that you have for us as a community of faith. Lord, we thank you for Trinity Baptist Church, for the presence that we have in this community you've placed us in. Lord, we want to thank you for each part of the body. Every single part of the body is precious to you. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to knit us together for the very reasons you put us together. We ask that you would do that this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us and you would draw us onwards and upwards into all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just start with maybe where we're at and where we've been coming from. We're currently a community of about 110 to 120 people. We don't all show up on a Sunday morning, but if you look at the folks that say, yeah, this is my spiritual community, this is my church family, we're about a community of about 110 to 120 people. Of those, we have 80 people who are saying we're members here, voting, card-carrying Trinity Baptist members. We don't give cards, by the way. Shirley was like, I didn't get a card. Does that mean I'm not a... Since Michelle and I came in 2010, Trinity's changed quite a bit. And when we arrived at Trinity, what we found was a very vibrant, devoted community. Most of Trinity Baptist, when we arrived, I can't remember. I did a little bit of a demographic study. I know that about 70% of Trinity Baptist was 50 years old and older. So we were an older congregation. But the congregation was vibrant, was involved. Most everybody had a role, was serving in some capacity in the church. And so when you came to Trinity, there was an energy and a vitality to our fellowship. And so in 2010, when we came, we were, how many of you were here when Michelle and I came in 2010? So take a look around. Look at that. Yeah, my kids were here, so you can put your hands up. You came with us. Okay, and how many of you have come since Michelle and I have come in 2010? Okay. So of those who are here this morning, so a little, probably almost half and half, there's probably a little less than half who've come. So that kind of gives you a sense that the congregation's changed quite a bit in the last 8 years. We've definitely, our demographics have gotten younger. Our kids were the only children when we came, well, the Russells were here, and then when the Russells left, then our children were the only children. Were you a child? Yeah, that's true. You were pregnant when we came. Yeah, you were pregnant when we came, which, yes, that's a good corrective because there indeed was another child. So we've seen, but now, I don't know, Kenny, how many children do we have in children's ministry? 20? There, you're up here. Yes, 20 people. 20 kids, which are people. Technically. Wow, this is going so well. So we've changed a lot. We actually even have teenagers. Woohoo! And so our demographics have really filled out at Trinity, and that's wonderful. That's an answer to prayer. The folks who were here when we arrived in 2010 were really praying that God would raise up a new generation. And God is answering that prayer. And so we're seeing that as in a slow and steady way. Over these last years, the kind of feedback that we're getting from you who have come in the last 8 years is that the reason that you stayed is because you found Trinity welcoming, friendly, you found our fellowship a place to belong, and you were able to get involved in community life. You're not here for the programming. Sunday morning, we don't run a tight ship on Sunday morning. You're not here because, I mean, we have awesome musicians, awesome worship, you know, awesome preachers. All right? But that's not the reason you're here. The reason you're here, because we don't hear that stuff, although we get lots of compliments on preaching and that stuff is, oh, that's good. But what we're hearing from you is it's the community life. That's the reason you're here. And that's exactly what we felt like the Lord was doing here and is wanting to continue to do here. It's the community life at Trinity. So that's fantastic. We actually hear from folks who have moved away that it's tough because once they've moved away from Trinity to a new community, it's often difficult to find a community life like they experienced among us. And so that's great feedback for us going, okay, Lord, thank you. That's a strength of ours. And continue to do that in our midst. Not only have our demographics changed, but also our ministries have changed. When we came, we had no children's ministry, we had no home groups, we had no corporate prayer gathering, and all of those things exist today, and they're growing and they're increasing. We have 5 home groups last year, and our demand for spots in home groups are growing, so that's fantastic. Folks are making corporate prayer more and more of a priority. Our corporate prayer gatherings are vibrant, and so we're super blessed to have those vibrant ministries. But we have a sense that the Lord's going to continue to grow our ministries. Youth ministry, we have a sense God's about to birth something there. We have a sense that there are other ministries that may birth as God begins to move in our midst. And so these are all good signs of help. But there are some challenges, and I didn't want to just talk about the good stuff. Also, I want to talk about the challenges, because we do have challenges as a congregation. One of our key challenges is, because we're a relational church, not a program church, one of the challenges is in integrating newcomers into our midst. When people come into Trinity, they need to go beyond just a friendly handshake and get to know you into relationship and into our lives. And that means making room for people in our lives, right? That's kind of how it works at Trinity. But maybe you've noticed that as more and more people come, that the room in your life gets smaller and smaller. And so there's a tipping point where something called displacement happens, where people who were once in established relationships in the fellowship might feel like, wow, like I don't feel like I have as good a deep quality of relationship at Trinity as I used to. And so that's one of those growing challenges to a growing relational church. And by the way, this is nothing new to the church. This is how it's always been. And so one of the challenges for us is to continue to encourage those who are coming into Trinity Baptist to move from being guest to host. And so if you've come to Trinity in the last 8 years, God's already probably building upon you relationally in others' lives, and that's important for us to move into deeper responsibilities as we become part of a church community. Amen? By the way, if you're one of those ones who are feeling displaced, that is an important challenge for us to continue to talk about. And so it's important for us to, you know, to discuss that issue and come up with solutions for that issue. And so we want to encourage continued dialogue about that. Another issue for our congregation are caring for those who are aging and those who are sick. We have a significant aging population at Trinity. And so caring for the needs of folks at Trinity Baptist is a challenge. And this year we've really taken some new steps in meeting that challenge. Esther, along with Michelle, have really done a great job of saying, okay, what can we do? And so they've increased the care team. They've put measures in place for communication. That's starting to work really well. And so those care needs are being addressed, but they're significant care needs. And so we need to continue to grow in our ability to care for one another. Administration, Virginia retired last year, and we're in the process of asking the question, as a growing congregation, what is our need in the area of administration? Our position, as it had been, was as an office administrator. So one of the questions we're asking is, do we just fill the office administrator position with somebody who will do those tasks, or is the role bigger? As we grow, our demand for administrative work increases, and so we're wondering, well, maybe the Lord has a church administrator role down the road. And so we're in the process of discerning, well, what does that look like, Lord? And so right now, Michelle's been volunteering in the office. Yay! I get to flirt with my secretary. It's pretty nice, pretty sweet. Yeah. The truth comes out. Our building is aging. That's another challenge. We live in a 108-year-old building, and so the upkeep of this building is a challenge, and as big projects come, it costs a lot to take care of this building. So those are just some examples. That's just a sampling of challenges that we're facing, but God's equal to it. Amen? And one of the things that I really feel is a strength among us is that, you know, I feel like we're in it together. You know, and I just want to testify that as a body of Christ, you do a very good job of rallying together. We do a very good job of rallying together, where we feel like we're in this together, and that's a deep strength of ours. All right, I know there are probably challenges I didn't mention. You may have said, well, Brad, you didn't talk about this or this or this. I just sampled a few challenges, and I'm sure there are more that we could talk about. But I didn't want to talk all about us as a church. I wanted to get into the Word of God a little bit and ask the question, what is the Lord saying to us? Okay, so this is who we are and this is where we're at, but Lord, what are you saying to us as we move forward as a community of faith? And we have been receiving words from the Lord. And one of the words we received earlier this year has really become, it's feeling more and more like these are our marching orders. And the word is build the nursery. You guys remember hearing that word? We shared a prophetic word that we'd received through others. Build the nursery. So what does that mean, build the nursery? Well, it could either mean we build a physical nursery or there's something metaphoric, something symbolic going on. We believe that the Lord is definitely using this as a metaphor to speak to us about something deeper. So what's a nursery? Right. But we're children. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so a nursery is a place where we take care of children. So what could that mean for us as a congregation? What could it mean for us to be a place where God's calling us to build the nursery? Can you say that a little louder? That's right. So we intentionally build an environment where things can grow, people can grow, right? And so one of the things that we felt as we prayed through this as elders is that the Lord has a desire for us to be a church where spiritual babies can be brought into a nurturing environment where spiritual babies can grow. And so we feel like this is kind of like marching orders, that this is something that he wants us to build intentionally towards. How that looks right now, we don't actually have clear guidance. We're in the process of discernment, and that's why we want to share that with you. We want to invite you into that process of discernment with us. What does it look like for us to be a place where God is bringing in spiritual babies, those who are needing to grow spiritually? And what does it mean for us to be an environment that intentionally builds for that kind of growth? Well, we really believe that this has two parts, planting and watering. And I'm going to get into that in a bit, but I just remembered, I wanted to share another word we had received from Krista Massey. You guys remember when Krista and Rob Massey came? And she spoke about three things. She's talked about extravagant hospitality, astounding love, and radical generosity. And those things kind of hit us hard. You know, it just kept on coming up in our hearts that the Lord was actually giving us sort of, what does this look like inside of us? If we're to build this nursery, what kind of qualities is He wanting to generate in us as a congregation? And so these three qualities, extravagant hospitality, what does that mean for us to make room in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships? What does that look like? Well, the Lord's calling us to an extravagance in it, for us to make room in a way that we might not be comfortable with. What about astounding love? Well, we know the church needs to be a place where we love one another. They will know we are Christians by our love, but the Lord's calling us to increase the people's ability to access our love. And so this, we really feel this is a call for us to have love that can be accessed by others. And third, radical generosity, that with our time and our money and our giftings and all of the resources that God's given us, that we have freely received from Him, that we're willing to freely give. Amen? So those are the things the Lord's been challenging us with. These very skills that we'll need to build this nursery. But whenever we begin to talk about this kind of work of reaching people and caring for people and doing gospel ministry, it has a different effect on people, doesn't it? Some of us are like, yeah, man, I'm there, 100% there, high five, let's go, let's do this. But some of us, this kind of fills us with dread. And we need to acknowledge that this isn't always exciting for some people. And I think one of the reasons for this is that we do a poor job of talking about roles in the church, roles of ministry in the church. And the idea that there are different roles, even though God may call us to the same purpose as a church, the purpose that God calls us to always require different roles to fulfill. Amen? No two people have the same role, even though we might share the same purpose. Amen? You following me so far? This shouldn't surprise us to hear. There are lots of examples in the world where groups of people have the same purpose, but in order to fulfill that purpose, it requires that group of people to take on different roles. Any ideas or any examples that you can think of where a group of people have the same purpose but different roles to fulfill that purpose? Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, it's one example. I wasn't thinking of that one. Sports teams. I thought of sports teams. Football for sure. Definitely professional organized sports or team sports is an obvious example where you have a common goal, which is to make money. No, it's to win games, right? Win championships. Sometimes I guess kind of hazy. But yeah, that's a great example. And it's interesting that only a small amount of people on a professional sports team actually play the sport. There's a much larger infrastructure of people doing all kinds of different roles behind the scenes in a football team, right? They're coaches, scouts, I mean, throw some ideas. What would an NFL team have? Come on, Sam, help me out. Get off your phone. What kind of behind the scenes roles are there in an NFL football team? Somebody who makes the uniforms, right? Say again? That's right, an advertising department. Say again? General manager, so managers, water boy, that's right, trainers, doctors, physiotherapists, psychologists, eh? Right? You think of long-suffering wives, that's true. That's of the fans, yeah. But think about it for a moment. All of those roles are absolutely necessary to fulfill the ultimate purpose of the team, which is to win the championship. Right? If those other roles were missing, that championship could not be won. And the church is the same way. We've been given this purpose. What is our purpose, church? What's our purpose? Right? Make disciples of all nations. That's why we're here. We're here called to make disciples, but it requires all sorts. We have been given such diverse roles in that process. And so I want to look at a scripture that really speaks to this. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. Let me read it. It says 1 to 15 there, but we'll only read it to verses 1 to 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I think that was interesting that you said we're still infants, right? Oftentimes that gets in the way of us building the nursery. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul's dealing with a Corinthian church that is rapidly becoming dysfunctional. And why are they becoming dysfunctional? Because they're quarreling and arguing. And what are they arguing about? Human methodology. We got to do church this way. We follow the school of Paul. That's how we do church. And people in the church say, no, 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 no. Paul, you know, we don't really like the way Paul does church. We want to follow the method of Apollos. We like how he does things. And Paul's saying, guys, you're acting like infants. You don't see the bigger picture. There actually is no human methodology that can achieve kingdom purposes. You see, God is the head of the church. And he has this plan, specific plan for you, Corinthian church. So don't get wrapped up in this method or that method. And then he goes into this overarching picture of the various roles required to fulfill God's purposes. In verse 5, he says that Paul and Apollos were assigned each to their own task. And then he says about those tasks, he says, I planted the seed, and what did Apollos do? He watered it. But God has been the one who has made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So Paul's role was planting. So what's planting in ministry? Give me some examples of what planting is. Sure, planting a whole church. So what kind of work is involved in planting a church? Evangelism. Preaching the gospel message, right? In order to plant a church, you got to have converts, people who give their lives to Christ, new babes in the faith. So you actually have to present the message of the gospel. What other kind of work is involved? Acts of service, serving the community, building relationships, prayer for the sick. What kind of work did Jesus do when he was calling people to follow him? He was driving out demons, delivering people from oppression. He was teaching, yeah. So those ministries are planting ministries. They're very important. So Paul, he was an apostle sent out into the Greek-Roman world to plant churches. And so his role oftentimes was to come into a city, preach the gospel, win people for Christ, and begin churches there. That was planting ministry. But Apollos was different. Apollos came into the Corinthian church after it was established. And you know what his work was? His work was watering, tending. Watering has a lot of significance in that Mediterranean world because, quite frankly, a lot of the places that where you grew crops there, if you didn't water those crops, they just died. And so tending crops was a very important part of growing crops in that area. And so what Apollos did is he came into a place where there was new believers, like fragile new crops, and he would tend that. What kind of work is involved in that in ministry? Preaching, teaching new believers about their faith. So teaching's involved in that. Encouragement. Pulling weeds, that's right. Confronting people about sin issues in their life. That's what that is, right? What else? Loving. Yeah, pastoral ministry, right? The gift of hugs. What else? Caring. Yeah, feeding one another, meeting physical needs, helping one another in times of difficulty, mourning with those who mourn, laughing and rejoicing with those who rejoice, being a community of faith, right? By richly loving one another, using our spiritual gifts to encourage and edify. That's watering ministry. So Paul is saying, Corinthian church, you know what? It's not all about the planting, and it's not all about the watering. You need both. You need all kinds. You need all sorts of workers in order for you to build the kingdom of God. In verse 8, he says, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. Did you hear that? The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. We are all on the same team. We're all going for the same goal. Yes, we have different callings and different purposes in that, but we're all after the same purpose. And they will be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are our co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is very good news. This means the Trinity can operate in a singular purpose, while understanding that each one of us must engage with that purpose in very unique ways. So I want you to think about yourself. And I want to encourage you to think about yourself as a part of a whole that's trying to achieve the same purpose. If the Lord's calling us as a church to build the nursery, that is, to be a place where spiritual babes can come in and receive love and care, what kind of roles would be needed in that? Well, where are the babies? Right? Where are the unbelievers? So do we need folks who have a desire to plant, to preach, to go out and serve and care for our community? Absolutely. But where do we spend 90% of our resources, generally speaking? Right here. And oftentimes what happens in the North American church, we built a church that serves us first. And if we're going to be a church that's prepared for what those that God is going to bring to us, we have to get beyond ourselves. Amen? And we need to actually begin to grow a love for others that is beyond ourselves. And we're going to need to grow ears to hear how God wants us to engage our communities and the people around us. And I know He already has, and He already is. I know at Trinity, we're already hearing, and we're already being activated in this way. I'll just tell you a story. Years ago, I was preaching about evangelism when I was at West End Christian Community, and I was talking about squeegee kids. And I was just talking about, you know, we really need to not judge a book by its cover. We need to get to know the stories of people in our community. And so I was just challenging the church to look beyond the outward appearance. And a guy comes up to me after the service, good friend of mine at the church, and he's like, "Man, I had a dream last night about squeegee kids." I was like, "Really?" He's like, "You and me were out on the streets at wintertime giving grilled cheese sandwiches and hot chocolate to squeegee kids." I was like, "What?" He's like, "And then when you talked about it today," I was like, "God, you must be wanting us to do this." And I was like, "Totally." So we made this plan. It wasn't winter then. So we waited till winter, and we actually did this. We made hot chocolate. We used the church kitchen. We made a bunch of grilled cheese sandwiches, and we took them out to the streets just to see what would happen. And it was hilarious because, you know, the guys who were on the street doing the squeegeeing were like, "Why are you doing this?" And we had to explain every time we got asked that. Well, actually, he had a dream. So we gave them the whole story. Well, one guy on the street said, "Really?" And said, "You know what? Because today I was crying out to the Lord." And he said, I was ready to give up hope. And I had asked God to send somebody today that might let me know that God exists and that there's hope. And you guys showed up." And we were like blown away, because crazy stuff happens when you're just listening, right, to what the Lord might want to do. I just share that not because, wow, we were super spiritual. We actually were bumbling around. We were like, had no idea what we were doing. But I really believe that we're in days where God's going to be giving us dreams, desires, visions. Let's keep our antennas up, our ears open to how God might want us to engage in our community. Amen? By the way, not everybody's going to feel a call to take grilled cheese sandwiches to the streets. And so you might be here going, "That's the last thing I ever would do, bro." Remember, we're all called to different roles. And even if you have a passion for reaching out to people who don't know Christ, you might not feel called to do street ministry. And so God might call you to love a neighbor, to bring a pie to somebody who's lost a loved one on your street. God might call you to just to be kind to a coworker in a way that everybody else is not being kind to. God has ways of reaching into lives that doesn't necessarily have to do with going out on the streets and preaching on a soapbox. So let's keep our ears open. Last week, by the way, we've got lots of opportunities right here. We have LBE, Safe Families. There's so many ways to engage in missions that we're connected to right here at Trinity. Amen? Not all of us are planters, though. That doesn't necessarily mean that God won't use you to plant, but some of us lean out of the church, and some of us lean into the church. And just like Paul and Apollos were both needed, at Trinity, we need people who are going and gathering, but we also need people who are creating safe places and pastoral spaces right here in Trinity. We need nest builders, amen? And so some of us will be called not to gather, but to love those who are gathered, to build together those who God is gathering in our midst. This is watering ministry. That might just mean relationally connecting with people who God is drawing here, having an open home, an open heart, a heart of hospitality. We have lots of ways to connect and engage with people, our home groups. We want in this coming year, we're asking the Lord to open, to make room in our midst for those that God is going to join to us. So that means that all of us have to make room in our hearts and in our homes and in our lives for those that the Lord will gather together. Amen? But remember, whatever your role, whatever your assignment that the Lord gives you, we all have one purpose: to make disciples. All right, I'm going to read you this passage. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be... That's right. If we want to grow as a church, we need to be willing to grow as a church. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as we work together, we will grow together. Amen? I just wanted to do some math here. Verse 11, how many equipping roles are there in the church? Five, that's right. Trick question, depending how you count. But let's say five. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. Okay, so question, put those in categories. Those who plant and those who water. How many planting roles would you say are in those five? Two, possibly three, yeah. The two that are clear would be apostles and evangelists. Those definitely, the word apostle means sent out one, and they were sent out to plant churches throughout the Greek and Roman Empire. Evangelists clearly share the gospel. Teachers, that's the one that is applying to both. How about the other roles? The watering roles. Those are pastoring. Sorry, I can't hear you. Say? Prophets. Yes, prophets are called to prophesy to the church to edify the body, right? And teachers, right? So what's the percentage of those who lean outwards from the church and those who lean inwards? About half and half, depending on how you count. Interesting. And then Paul says this. He says, all are needed in the church, doesn't he? He says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. You know, there's this sort of idea in the Western church that if we hire the best pastors and we have the best programming and we care for our own people really, really well, we'll have an edified, built-up body. I disagree. I believe that unless the church also reaches our community, we will become insular, selfish, and we'll start fighting, actually, quite frankly. That the Lord's actually called us to be a body that works together. Amen? He's calling us to be a team for a purpose. And that's really why we exist at Trinity Baptist. Do you know that this morning, I don't know if you guys read the paper, but I was actually in the paper declaring this was the purpose of Trinity Baptist, was to share the gospel with Winnipeg. That was awesome. I was reading the paper, I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I got this opportunity to declare the purpose of Trinity Baptist is to reach our community for Christ. That's awesome. All are needed. So this summer, what we're going to do is we're going to be focusing our summer messages on inspiring you to explore God's purpose and God's calling in your life to building the nursery. So we're asking, we're inviting some speakers who are involved in some ministries we're passionate about to come and try to inspire us into action. Does that sound exciting? And we also want to begin to ask you, well, what is the Lord stirring? What faith is he giving? What's he stirring you up for? Because we believe that as God enters us into the fall, that he's going to call us to put boots on the ground. Might be in small ways at first, but he's going to call us into those things that he stirring in us to build this nursery. We also received a picture, a second picture. I'll conclude with this. What's that? Sprinkler. Yes, we, right at the same time that the Lord said, build the nursery, there was this picture of like a sprinkler up there. And then Jesus was like really tall and he touched the sprinkler. And then water started gushing in the sanctuary. And to me, that's obvious what that means. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so I just wanted to end with this because, you know, when you hear do, work, work, it can feel like a heavy yoke. But those two pictures came together because one of the scriptures the Lord gave us from Zechariah this year was, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So the Lord is calling us not to try to achieve these by human methodologies. That's exactly what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church. Don't do it. Don't think that there's a certain methodology that's going to fit and be the magic touch. By my spirit, says the Lord. And so we need the Holy Spirit. And so that's, we heard just 2 weeks ago, Jason Mandrick said, this is what God's doing all around the world. He's calling God's people to first pray and to listen and to get our kingdom strategies right from him. So these are days for us to be in prayer and listening. Can we stand together? Lord, we want to thank you for speaking to us as a church in this year. Lord, we want to thank you for calling us. Lord, I often hear you say, what a team, what a team, what a team. Lord, you've assembled a team at Trinity Baptist. You've put us together. And Lord, we ask that you would strengthen the bonds of love between us, that you would speak to us about what our part in the body is. And Holy Spirit, we ask that in these coming weeks and months and over this coming year, that you would fill us to the fullness of Christ, that you would empower us, your people, to do your work. Lord, we pray that you would increase our love. Lord, we want to ask for these three things that you've called us to. We ask for extravagant hospitality. Lord, we ask that you'd increase the room in our hearts and our lives and in our homes so that you can call people into relationship with us and with you. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with an astounding love, the same love that you had when you came and died for us. Lord, we ask that you give us a self-sacrificial love for our neighbor. And Lord, we ask that you would equip us with a radical generosity. Lord, that you would fill us with a deep assurance that you've got us covered, Lord. We can freely give what we freely receive from you. So we ask, Lord, that you release this within us and through us in this coming year. Lord, this summer, as we listen to you, would you inspire us for the things that you have for us? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to release you with a blessing from Hebrews. So may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Join us downstairs for